Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. In the words of the great theologian, Teyana Taylor,
yeah, we made it, we made it, yeah, we made it, we made it.
Yeah, we have made it to the final episode of season 3 of the podcast. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. This season has been a labor of love, but it's honestly been one of my favorite seasons. And for this episode, I interviewed Chris Granger, a husband, father, and host of the podcast, The Lion Within Us. He came today with a story about how he forgave his ex-wife after she cheated on him. Now, when I think of cheating, I'm thinking knock down, drag out fights, cussing people out, and things of that nature. But with Chris, he was intentional with his words to his two daughters, and not to speak death, but to speak life. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, but this story has just been so good. I want you all to listen to it. But before we do, I've been saying this before, and I'm going to say it again. Thank you for listening to this podcast, for all those who've been listening since episode 1, or even just now. We want to thank you, honestly. And we ask that you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps the podcast get more reach. We appreciate you. And now, here's the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I have a very good guest with me, Chris Granger. Say hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Dwayne is honored to be here, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate you. First off, his sound quality is amazing. Let's just put that out there. His sound quality is amazing. He got the professional microphone, and I don't. So it's all good. He's going to sound amazing, but it's all well and good. So it's great to have him on because I was tagged by my coach, Mike McGreevy, and he said, Dwayne, connect with Chris. He has a story about forgiveness. And I said, all right. So I watched the video, and as soon as I saw it, I was just like, how can I get you on my podcast? Please respond back to me. I typed so quick to connect with him. And we had a chat, and when he told me his story, I said, I would love to have you on. And he has graciously agreed to just come on. So thank you, Chris, for real. Thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. Seriously.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. So I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
What was the first concert you went to?
First concert, man. That's a great question. Nope. Thinking back, I'm going to age myself a little bit because I'm definitely older than you. But
Only about 2 years. It's not that bad.
Okay. Oh. All right. Well, this would have been back in the 80s, and it would have been an Alabama concert. I remember going with my parents to an Alabama concert probably in the Raleigh, North Carolina area.
Raleigh, shout out to them. That is a great city. Me and my wife went out there, and it was great. Oh yeah. Loved it. It's a great city out there. That's I'm going to say for me, the first concert I ever went to, it was called the Verizon First Ladies Concert. And it was, let me see, Christina Milian was the opening act, and it had Alicia Keys and Missy Elliott.
Okay.
That was my very, very first concert. And I think that was back in high school, I believe.
Okay.
I remember that. Was that in high school? It was in 04, yep. And it was with Beyonce as well. Yes, it was Beyonce. So yes, it was in 2004. I was in high school. My very first concert. It was great. I was jamming out. And I think I took my sister with me. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I took my sister with me. It was really dope. It was really dope.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. So really, so again, I want to thank you for coming on, and just wanted to be on, being open. So please, the floor is yours. Please tell your story, sir.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, from a forgiveness standpoint for your listeners out there. So, you know, I've been through a divorce and been on the other side of, you know, of infidelity, and where you find out that your wife's not being loyal to you, and just walked through that pretty tough trial there, man, of just that going through the change of, you know, literally you wake up one morning and you're married, a wife with two kids, right? And then the next day she's gone. Kids are still there, but she's gone. And just having to walk through that emotionally, looking down at a 5 and 3 year old little girls as a dad, all of a sudden a single dad, and trying to figure out how to do life, right? And I remember my little 5-year-old, she just put her arm around me. She's like, "We got this, Dad." And, you know, and so just working through all the ins and outs of that, of her leaving. Then we ended up going to a trial for a custody trial. And ultimately the judge settled where I was the primary. And, you know, they do go visit her on twice a month. But, you know, that stuff doesn't happen, Dwayne, you know, where usually the dads never come out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? From that standpoint. But the judge, I guess he saw the character, and I had a lot of character witnesses, and from my church and just from community. And he thought, you know what, these girls are probably going to be in a better situation, you know, hanging with dad most of the time. So that was a blessing. But then also, man, I've had to learn, going through that, I can't hold on to bitterness to my ex-wife, right? I mean, that does nothing to build up my daughters that I had with her.
Yeah.
And so I've had to really be intentional over the last, you know, several years of just watching and guarding my tongue around, you know, as frustrated as I may get with their mother, you know, certain things, I can't verbalize that. I need them to see me building her up as much as possible. And cause if I'm cutting her down and throwing darts, that's not doing anything to help them as young women grow and mature and build their character. So, you know, I'll tell you this, when it first happened, I was terrible at it. And I mean, I was really bad because I was emotional. You know, I was processing, but as I processed it and I processed ultimate, you know, the forgiveness of what happened, you know, I did have to come to that moment of, you know what, I have to forgive her because this is hurting me, you know? And so by forgiving her, and my forgiving her allowed me to show my daughters more grace with her in situations. And we still don't see eye to eye on the world, but I think from a parenting standpoint, we have come a long way to be able to, you know, have that give and take where needed. And also a little space doesn't hurt. She lives about an hour away, so that helps as well, you know, just to be fully transparent with you and your listeners. So, you know, I can't say I got it all figured out there from a forgiveness standpoint. I'm still, I've since remarried. We have more children. We have another one due here in about 3 weeks from this recording. So, you know, it's you know, life moves on and God is good, but you know, you definitely, I had to really learn that the bitterness, man, the bitterness, if you harp that, you know, that will grow in your heart. I mean, and it's like I said, good tree, good fruit, bad tree, bad fruit. And it can't be one or the other. Right. So I don't know if that made any sense or kind of was where you were hoping we would talk about, but I'd be glad to answer any questions you have on that.
So first off, kudos, like, honestly, I just thank God for you, man. For real, I do, because I honestly want to celebrate you right now, because going through that, the infidelity and walking with that, you could have turned bitter, and this could have turned into something ugly.
Yeah.
But yet God brought you through, and yet you're here now just speaking life into you, your daughters, you're remarried, and you're just message out there about forgiveness. Like, honestly, I want to celebrate you. I really do. I appreciate you, sir, for who you are, for real.
Thank you, brother.
I do. And I'm going to say, as a dad, I get it. You know what I mean? He's like, I don't have life figured out. I don't. Especially when you got little ones. Especially right. when they look into you like, oh my gosh. Like, and then I'm not going to lie, that like that really, it really blessed my heart when you said your father was like, Dad, it's going to be all right. I'd be like, it's going to be
all right. Right, right.
I would have been crying, but
yep.
I get it. And honestly, kudos. Like, honestly, I'm happy for you, man. I really
Thank
am.
You, Thank you.
So I want to ask, it was like, what was it like walking in that season when you found out about the infidelity for you? What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it hurt. But honestly, man, I immediately went to like Papa Bear mode is the way I can really describe it. Like, I didn't have time to worry about me and my relationship with you know, my ex-wife, because I had to take care of my daughters. Like, they were 3 and 5. And the next morning after she left, they got up and they were ready for breakfast and they were ready to do stuff, right?
So yep.
For them, it's just like, let's go.
It's another day, yeah.
So, I mean, I had to go take a daddy hair class and do all the different things because, I was a single dad. I needed to know how to do these things. So I learned, I invested time, and my company gave me some extra time to be able to take off and deal with this stuff. But it hurt for sure. I remember the most the first weekend that she got visitation after she left. So that would have been the first weekend that I was in our home and there was nobody there. And man, that was hard. I mean, to see those little girls, first of all, drive away in the car and have to see that, but then come back into that house that, when we had bought the house like a year or two prior, that was supposed to be our house, right? We were going to raise our family. And then I was in that house alone. And it seemed like it wasn't that big a house, but it seemed like a mansion. It just seemed huge at the moment, because like you're literally in there. And I felt like the size of an ant, and I could hear every little noise. But what I remember the most was the quiet. And I didn't like the quiet. It was so, I got 3 and 5 year old girls, man. They're not quiet. Like, there's nothing quiet about a 3 and a 5 year old, right? I mean, they're into stuff all the time. So I just remember that first weekend. That was one of the hardest weekends of my life, man. I'm just like, I just need my girls to get back so I can have some sense of normalcy again. So, and since then, I've always struggled when they go away. It gets easier over the years, when they go away to visit and come back and things like that. But it's still, there's a hole every time they leave. And it's just, I can't say it's definitely something that I've had to learn to grow and develop, as the years have gone. But it's definitely nothing that I look forward to. And for the parents out there that are listening and go through this and maybe have the same emotions, like, I get it. I mean, I don't have any words of comfort other than, God is with you. And in those moments, I just had to lean on him. And that's literally all I can do is just lean on him, man.
Yes. That's nothing but the truth. It really is. And you brought up a point of being intentional with your words and choosing to speak life and not death about your ex-wife, because mm-hmm. that happens. You hear about those stories, and it's so sad and it's hurtful to hear about one parent bashing the other, and it's back and forth and the children get into it. It right. hurts. But for you to be intentional with that.
Yeah.
That's honestly, that's another testament to your character. And I want to ask, what was your mindset going into that, and how did you get to that place where you say, I'm being intentional and not speak down, but speak up? Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. I mean, I go to scripture, and back then I wasn't as close to the Lord as I am now, but I was trying, right? Yeah. I mean, I definitely was trying.
Of course.
And all I can tell you is the Holy Spirit, did his work for me. And it says in the Bible about the tongue, and how small that tongue is, and it compares it to a rudder of a ship, right? You got a big old ship, but you got a little bitty rudder, and that thing can turn that ship one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And we have to be so careful, because it also says the tongue can set a blaze of fire. You can burn down a forest with one little spark. And we have to be so careful, and particularly as men, you know, and I work a lot with men. Our words, as particularly if you believe in, you know, if you're a Christian value type guy like I am, and believe the inerrant word of God and the biblical family structure, men are called to be the leaders.
Yes.
And when you are the leader of your home, your words, man, they have so much power. And you have the ability to speak life or death into any situation. And it could be just playing a card game, working in the yard, at dinner. You have to be intentional at all times, particularly when you have little ones, and also to your wife, guys, if you're listening to this, you need to speak life into your wife. If you're not speaking life to her at all times, you need to check yourself, because we are called to serve her. We need to make sure we're doing that. So I just, man, just being super intentional about my tongue, and I have to be just, I didn't always get it right. I'll admit that, but I've learned over the years of watching when I would start saying something and just see how my girls responded. And then for me to, okay, that's not uplifting. And I've actually had to go several times, and this is important for particularly for the guys. I've had to go several times to my daughters and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said this about your mother, whatever it was. I said that out of frustration. I was definitely not. That's not how I feel. Will you accept my apology? And they need to hear that. I'm telling you, bro, like our wives and our children need to hear us. We need to be the chief I'm sorry sayers in our family.
Amen.
And they need to hear that every day, because we're sinners. We're all flawed, man.
Yeah.
we all fallen short of the glory of God. They need to hear us say, I'm sorry, and apologize and repent. Because then that just becomes natural. And if they can see the leader of the family stepping up and doing that, man, what an impact that can have on our family. But sometimes you gotta swallow that pride and just guys and step in and do that. And I know that can be so hard, but if we do it, man, it can have such an impact.
Yeah, I agree. And I thank you for saying that, because a lot of us didn't grow up in homes where the parents said, I'm sorry to their kids.
Yeah.
It's usually the other way around.
Right.
Like, you apologize. I was like, but you hurt me. Or right. You'll hear something different. Like, you hungry? Like, that's an apology. Like, nah, fam, I'm gonna need to say I'm sorry. So you saying that to your kid, that's your children. That's so powerful, man.
Yeah, man.
So powerful. So, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong for that. Mm-hmm. It takes, honestly, that takes a lot of humility.
Oh, yeah, bro.
It does. It takes a lot of humility. It does. But this is just me. To me, it sets a standard.
Mm-hmm.
It does. The person who I love modeling an apology, it's okay for me to do it. And also sets a standard to say, the person I love, if they're wrong, they're going to apologize to me. If they don't, my dad did it. He loved me. You're not doing it. Something ain't right here. So you are setting a standard. I'm glad for that. I really am. You also said that not forgiving your ex-wife hurt you. Can you talk about that? How would not forgiving her hurt you?
Well, just think about it. I mean, if any time that you carry around unforgiveness, it weighs you down. Yes. I mean, and you're giving that person power, right?
Yes.
I mean, and so in those situations, I was not able to actually move forward and heal because I was bitter.
Yeah.
And the bitterness, once you let bitterness and things like that into your heart, man, and they plant that seed, it just grows. And next thing you know, that grows into other areas of your life. And you have to be so careful, and you have to cut that stuff off at the root and recognize it. So, you know, that's what I see so many guys, man. And they'll talk about their ex and things like that. And it's just all this negative chatter, 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 and four letter words and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, bro, that's not building anything fruitful in your life. You know, we're called to what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if a man cannot walk in those fruit, if he can't do it, then he's going to struggle.
Yes.
So for me, and that self-control and kindness and goodness, they are there for a reason.
And
if you actually just lean into that stuff, man, it will grow, but you got to lean into it.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back about the analogy. You mean good tree, good fruit, bad tree, bad fruit. I remember Jesus when he was walking through and there was a fig tree. He didn't produce the figs that he wanted. And he just said, yep. he just looked and called it out and it shriveled up and died.
That's it.
That's the thing right there. It's the fruit that we bear. Right. Is it hard? Absolutely. It's hard. You know what I mean? If it was easy, anybody can do it.
Right. But
with the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, like that fruit will be produced. That's and right. some will come easier than most. It right. will.
Right.
Others have to be worked at.
Right.
Daily.
Right.
Or in other people's, every minute has to be worked on.
Amen to that.
But man. it's nothing but the truth. And we were talking earlier about another thing I wanted to talk to you about was about men struggling with forgiveness and forgiving themselves. So please talk about that, because that's something that needs to be said.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, men, for one, when we look in the mirror, so many times we see the worst version of ourselves. So I'll give you a quick example, man. My oldest is 12. So yeah, 12 years ago, I was 330 pounds. Okay. Now I know a lot of your listeners, they might be on the YouTube, but like right now I'm sitting at about 2. Right. So, I mean, if I really work at it, I can get down into 190s, but somewhere around 2. I'm 6'1". So kind of a big guy. And for me, I still struggle, bro, where I'll look in the mirror now, even where I'm at right now, probably the best shape of my life, and I can still see the 330 pound version of Chris. Mm. And it's like, wait, bro, like I've literally lost a person, you know, off of me. So, and when it comes down to the way that men view ourselves, we're so hard on ourselves. And I had somebody text me all day because I was struggling with imposter syndrome, and I was just talking to him about the podcast and things that we got going, and it's just crazy stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I got all this negative talk, like I'm a fraud and things like that. He's like, look, bro, he's like, that negative talk, all that commendation, being condemned,
yeah,
comes from Satan.
Yes,
he's like,
does.
That he's like, that is Satan's talking. He's like, now building up all the positive, you know, the things that you're doing, and we just started laying out the stuff that we're working on at the Line Within Us. And he's like, that's the Holy Spirit. He's like, you got to tune out Satan, and you got to tune up the Holy Spirit. And I was like, yo, bro, that's pretty good. You know, it's like, I'm going to start using that. So, you know, for me, it's just like when I talk to so many guys on a regular basis, man, in our community and stuff, and they're struggling with their health, like their mind and their body, or their wealth, like they're just not where they want to be financially, or maybe they're not where they're at with their kids or their wife, and they constantly are just putting themselves down, and yes. like and we so we have to like we gotta stop that, because yes. that negative self-talk, bro, that doesn't do anything to build you up as a man. And it's man, it, and that Satan wants you to stay there. He wants you to stay, you know, I'm terrible, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not successful, I'm not smart. He wants you to keep all that chatter, because if you're doing that, you're not going to do what God's called you to do. Yes. So we have to stop it, and we have to stop it. It's hard, bro. I mean, I'm like, you know, the chief sinner here trying to tell you and your listeners, but it's hard. But if you do lean in, and you can't do it alone, the only way it happens is you have to pray about it, and the Holy Spirit has got to help you with this. That's why it's not, you know, it's not us, it's him. We have to lean in. He's got to help us with this.
I agree. And I also say this, you got to have a community of people who will tell you, shut up.
Yep.
That's the devil. You need to get it together. I love you. This is what the truth says. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
That's it.
You know what I mean? And I struggle with that as well. Every day, I'm just like, I didn't do this for my wife. Oh, I suck as a husband. I didn't do this as for my son. I suck as a dad. He's going to hate me and I'm be a failure. All of that. And then my wife just says, you know, you are an excellent husband and father. I'm just like, excuse me?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just God saying, get out of that. And get right. into what I've given into this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to shut up. Because I'm going to speak for me. I struggle with perfectionism. I really do.
Yeah.
And when I don't hit that stand-up perfectionism, I automatically think I'm a failure and I beat myself up.
Yeah.
Like, so what you said really, that helped, that spoke to me. It really does.
Awesome, man.
When it comes to forgiving of self, I'm not gonna lie, I would struggle with that. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
If I make a mistake and I would pray, I remember because it says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And even though I would ask for God's forgiveness and I know I got, I would still beat myself up. Mm-hmm. Like after the fact that God forgave me, I would, because I wasn't perfect. Like, why did, like, I asked for God's forgiveness. I was like, but why did I still do it? I shouldn't have done it. Why did I do this? And then I remember someone saying, so you're saying God's grace and forgiveness isn't enough?
Mm.
I'm like, what do you mean? Did God forgive you? Yeah. Then why aren't you forgiving yourself? Because I should have done this, that, and third. So you're better than God. So your self goes above God's grace and righteousness. When I tell you, I shut up so quick.
Right?
I shut up so quick because I was like, dang.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God forgave me, and he even says in his word that I'll remember your sins no more.
Right.
If he don't remember.
Right.
Why should I?
That's right. That's it. That's it.
Oh my gosh, man. Because that's a word for somebody. I don't know who it's for, but that's for somebody.
That is, brother.
I want to ask this. What is it in this season that you want to impart to your children?
In the season that I'm at right now?
I'm going to say that, and also in the journey with forgiveness.
Okay. Right now, what I'm trying to really show my children is the guy that they see on Sunday is the same guy they see Monday through Saturday. Okay. And too many times, you know, we can clean up and we'll get the family all good and we'll get them to a church service or something like that on a Sunday. And they see this version of Dad. Right. And then Monday through Saturday, I'm going to do it my way. And what I'm trying to show my kids is Sunday through Sunday, I'm doing it God's way.
Yes.
And I submit to him, and he is the head ultimately of this family. I'm also trying to right now with my daughters, my older daughters, show them the family structure. So I tell them, we talk about it all the time. I say, look, here's how it works in Dad's life. God's first. Rebecca, who's my wife, she's second. And then it's you guys. And look, and the first time I told them, they're like, you love her more than us? And I said, yeah. She's my wife. And I took them to the scripture and I said, look, this is the way scripture, you know, lays it out, and they get it. But I need them to know that, Dwayne, yeah. Because I need them at some point, if they decide to get married, you know, they understand the proper family structure and what to expect. And they also need to see from a man standpoint, what should they expect from a husband? Because I'm setting that example. Like if you're raising sons, yeah, you're raising them to be men. But if you're raising daughters, you're showing them what they need to look for in a man.
Yes.
And think about that, because what type of fruit are you showing your wife that your kids are seeing? So I'm being super intentional to like kiss my wife in front of them. And the more ooze and stuff I hear, the better. It's like, all right, good. Y'all need to see this. Y'all need to know that, you know, it's good to have affection in your marriage and intimacy. It's important. You know, and then I need to see them open a door for my wife. They need to see me open the door for them, and, you know, just being, you know, courteous and kind. And like, I write little notes in their lunchboxes every day. They need to see that their dad loves them and what a father's love really looks like. So that's what I'm super intentional about right now, man, just in this season. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. Like I said, I have two older ones, now I have two younger ones. So it's like, this is just me now, man. So it's just every day, how can I show the fruit? I'm constantly talking to them about the fruit, and, you know, and even on their napkin every day for lunch, I write one of the fruits, you know, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. You know, I just went through them earlier. And I just want, I basically put, you know, show whatever this fruit is today, you know, love dad. And I'm just constantly, you know, it's, you know how we are. We all have a sin nature. You have to get this stuff beat into you sometimes to remember it. So I'm just constantly showing them, reminding them, hitting them, showing them, all right, what fruit are you showing? What fruit? What fruit? So that's kind of where I'm at and the focus. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
No. I love that. I really do.
Cool.
I really do, because we have to show that. And for all those who are listening, if you are married, that's the order: God, spouse, children, job.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah, good point.
You know what I mean? That's the order. You know, yep. God comes first, and then God gave you a helper. You know what I mean? Yep. And then he blessed you with children. You know what I mean? And he also gave you the provision to provide for them. So yeah, so great model. What is something you want to impart to your daughters about forgiveness?
Great question, man. I want them to see, first of all, that we are forgiven, right? I mean, we literally as believers in Jesus, we are forgiven. Therefore, we have to show that. And if we can't walk around with bitterness and hatred in our heart towards others and expect to be able to produce good fruit. So I know I sound like a broken record when it comes to the fruit, but it's so important. It's so important. So
it is.
I'm just trying to impart to them that, you know what, bitterness, once it takes root, it's hard to get it out. So let's focus on the good fruit and show that. And I mean, that could be as simple as, you know, with my daughter that plays volleyball, like, look, she was talking, you know, they had a tough game. And I was like, look, I want you to go to the next team and, like, you know, give them some props. They prayed really well against you all. So just finding ways to just be able to, even in those tough moments, you know, I coach softball, like, head up. I'm always telling them, head up. Even if you strike out, keep that head up. Let's walk the way, you know, in a Christ-like manner, no matter where we're at. And if we do that, you never know how your testimony is going to impact somebody else, because everybody's watching, man. And they're watching. They're looking for that hypocritical Christian, right?
Like a hawk. AI's like a hawk. Oh, my gosh.
That's it. They're looking for it. So I just tell them, like, look, if you're looking for the perfect church, you ain't going to find it. You know, and you're right. We're full of hypocrites, and we have room for one more. So come on. You know, come on to the church. It's fine. It's all good, right? You know, so it's just, it amazes me. Like, if you have a church is full of sinners and you expect this thing to be perfect, it ain't gonna be that way.
No,
sir. You know, and also, like, the church is the people. It ain't the building. The building can burn to the ground. The church is the people. So facts. It's just like, need to remember this stuff, man. We forget it so often. It's so easy to forget that stuff.
I remember my first pastor, John K. Jenkins, senior of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. He said this, and I love it, and I hold on to it. The church is not a social club for saints, but a hospital for the broken.
That's it, baby.
And when I heard that, it hit me. Because it's just like, this isn't a social club for you. This is to help. This is to bring people to Jesus, to bring them the healing that they need.
Right.
So that was powerful. I loved that. Yeah. And I'm glad that you said that, because there is no perfect church. The only church that's perfect is when we get to heaven.
That's it.
And until then, we're just gonna be walking this thing together. This life together. That's it. So I want to ask you, what does forgiveness mean to you?
To me?
Yes.
I don't really trying to think through the way I would define it. Moving forward, you know, I don't know if that's a good definition or not, but it's like, look, man, you have to let go. You have to move forward. And I think, yeah, I mean, should we learn from our mistakes and learn from the people that hurt us? Yeah. But look, we can't hang on to it. We got to move forward. You know, we're not going to be able to do what God's called us to do if we're constantly living in the past. Can't do it. You know, if you're coming up with a fight, like, I know so many men that turn into historians anytime they start an argument with their wife. and they're going to talk about stuff 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yes.
Like, bro, that, yeah, what? Like, stop. Like, seriously, you're a grown man. Let's act this way. And we can't turn into historians. Let's show some grace. And then let's move forward. So I would say, you know, just moving forward and grace, that's really, for me, forgiveness in a nutshell.
And it also says, as soon as you said it, Holy Spirit brought it to me, says in 1 Corinthians 13, love, it does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs.
That's it.
So for men and women, it keeps no record of wrongs. Stop going through the timeline. It's dead.
That's right.
Dead and gone. Like the old song, like the song said from T.I. and Justin Timberlake, it's dead and gone.
Right. And so, if you like history, go teach it, you know, but it, don't bring it into your relationship. You know what I'm saying?
That ain't nothing but facts. So what do you wish you learned earlier in your journey to forgiveness?
Just that. I wish I would have learned earlier, you know, what it actually looked like. It took. But again, man, it really takes going through those trials, those like the real life trials, not like, you know, stumping your toe. I'm talking about like when something gets cut off, right? I mean, I think it really takes that to be able to mold and shape and show you what that looks like. Cause I mean, I wouldn't, you know, before all the divorce and all that stuff happened, I wasn't in a position to really understand what forgiveness was. I mean, it was just like, okay. But I mean, once you go through something like that, it really takes a hold. And again, anytime you go through a trial, and I'll say this real quick, you have two options. You can either run to God or run from him. And if you run from him, right, bitterness is going to meet you at the end of that road. And that's the bitterness path. And yes, it's a bad path to go down. But if you run towards him, look, I get it. Bad things happen. We're in a fallen world. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I've held my lifeless daughter in my arms. Sucky things happen. I get it. But God, he loves us. He loves us so much. He sent his only son to die for us. And if we just put our trust in him, we are forgiven and we are righteous, and we'll have all this, the blessings that he wants to pour out on us. But man, we got to accept it. So either going to run from him or run to him. And I'm just choosing in my trials in life, the divorce, losing my daughter, all these big defining moments, I'm running to him, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember you told me your story about losing your daughter. I'm sorry. Again, I'm real sorry for that. Oh, I know that's, yeah.
It happens, bro.
I remember when there was a loss and I was like, I'm not going to lie, I was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hurt. I don't even know if I was angry, to be honest with you. I really don't know. But I said to God, I was like, I can't go nowhere but you.
Right.
And he's like, you're all I got.
Right.
So I'm going to give this to you. And it was painful, but it was the truth. It was like, God got me through. And I could have just let that bitterness turn to hatred toward God and turn me into an ugly person.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like you said, but God, man.
That's it.
But God, man. What do you wish to impart to the people listening to this episode?
I just hope they got a little bit of encouragement, Dwayne. I mean, we talked through some things. We went through a lot of scripture. You know, if all those verses didn't come out to you, that's okay. You know, we're all at our different places in our journey. I'll just encourage you to pick up scripture, you know, pick up a copy of God's word. Go to the red letters and see what Jesus is going to tell you, you know, and if we just follow his model, you know, we're not going to go wrong. So I just hope that they got some level of encouragement from this conversation, because I've definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hear you. And don't worry, all the scripture, I wrote it down. It's going to be in the show notes. So if they heard it, great. If they want to read it, it's going to be in the show notes so they can get that too. I ain't playing around.
Love it.
So, Chris, thank you so much for doing this, man. And right now, the floor is yours. Everything that you have going on, please share it, because I want to promote you. Go ahead, share it, man.
Well, I appreciate you, man. You're too kind. I mean, really, for us, we have a weekly podcast called The Lion Within Us. And it's a Christian podcast. So, I mean, we drop 3 times a week. On Mondays, I do a spiritual kickoff where it's just me going through a little bit of scripture and telling you basically how you can simplify and apply the Bible to your life. Wednesday is usually like an interview or like me talking about a deep topic. And then Fridays, I have a fun Friday where I do a couple tips. I give a dad joke or two, you know, try to have a little fun, give a book of the week, you know, for the guys that like to read. And we're all about serving Christian men who want to be the leaders that God intends them to be. So I've listened to the podcast is definitely the, you know, we're everywhere that you can find podcasts. And then check out our website, thelionwithin.us is our website. And from there, the cool thing, man, Dwayne, I don't even know if I told you about this. We started a community for The Lion Within Us. Okay. And it's outside of Facebook. It's outside of, you know, all the typical social media platforms. It's on a platform called Mighty Network. So it's a private community. It's free, but it's where our guys can go in. I have 2 courses that I've done. I did a Bible study and I did one around personal finance. I wrote an ebook. I have several guides, but the cool part is the events. So we have like weekly, we call them lion lunches. We have weekly Bible study. We have a mastermind that just started up with 10 guys, but there's a forum. It looks a lot like Facebook, but the cool part is we can speak truth and Facebook ain't gonna shut us down because it's our own thing, right? So it's, you know, if you just go to thelionwithin.us, you can join for free. Check it out. You may like it. You may not. You literally have nothing to lose. If you get in and it sucks, that's okay. Just pop right out. It's all good. You're not gonna hurt my feelings. But it may be something there that would provide value. Now, this is for men, so we are pretty exclusive there. So, you know, for the ladies, encourage your husband to check that out. But we want this to be a safe place for our guys to go and share and build that community. And man, I'm telling you, the conversations that are happening just organically, the, you know, stuff guys are talking about from pornography, divorce, you know, struggles and certain sins, as well as like just health stuff. Like I got some guys that are posting about working out and lifting weights and they're challenging each other on how much they're going to squat. Right. I mean, it's, so across the board, it's really fun, but it's giving guys a safe place because a lot of these things, man, they're afraid to they can't take it to their church because if you bring up some of these things in church, you may run into this person like at Target or Walmart or you're like at the grocery store afterwards. Right. So you're a little bit more guarded where this community, man, it's wide open. Guys are bringing up stuff and we actually are just leaning in and trying to serve each other. So that's the places to connect with us at, man. It's the website and the podcast.
Hey man, I'm put that in the show notes as well, because community is important. Yeah. It really is. And this is some, I'm really glad that men do this because it's not really talked about a lot. You know, usually it's not really talked about, but to have that space for it is important. I'm going to put that in the show notes for everybody. And I'm going to encourage y'all to get in on that because that's just powerful. But Chris, I know I've said it before time and time again, but I'm going to say it again. Thank you for coming on. And I just appreciate you as a person, your character. And I do appreciate you, man. I really do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. I really appreciate you.
Hey, man, you do a great job running the podcast and you know, love your message and love to support you. We'll make sure this is on our featured page at The Lion Within Us and do all we can to show you some love, man. So just keep up the great work.
I appreciate you, man. I do.
Did I not say that was a powerful episode? Did I not say it? Oh my gosh, that was good. Like that was really good. Chris, I want to say thank you for being open and honest with your story and just being vulnerable. Really, really appreciate you, brother. So like I said, this is the last episode of season 3 of the podcast. My wife and I are going to be welcoming a new addition to the family, Lord willing, and I'm just going to take some time off to spend some time with them. But don't worry, season 4 will be coming, so stay tuned for that. And it's like I said before, I'm going to keep on saying it. Thank you to everyone who's been listening ever since episode 1 or even just now. We thank you. And we ask that you leave us a 5-star written review on iTunes. It helps the podcast get more reach. We appreciate you. And we'll see you in season 4.
I know there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us.
to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power of the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations.